Welcome all the gamers to the All The Gaming Podcast. The podcast is all about the discussion of video games and other gaming topics. I am Dale White, the advocate for insanity. We've got another great episode for you this week for episode 80 of the podcast, if you can believe that or not. Gabby Diggs, Twitch streamer, welcome to the podcast. How's it going?
Thank you. I am doing well. Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited.
I am excited as well. And seriously, I can't believe episode 80 here.
Congratulations.
Yes, it's crazy. I mean, seriously. And I want to say this too right now. This is a little strange. This is not quite normally the way I would go with the intro here. But I want to thank everybody, seriously, for listening. We just this past week, just yesterday, honestly, for us recording right now. But when you guys listen to this next week, it'll be a week ago. A week ago to the day, we hit our highest weekly download number ever. So thank you, everybody, for contributing, for listening, for downloading. Seriously, thanks, everybody, for listening. Like I've said several times in the past, podcasts live and die on word of mouth. So if you could share it out with one person, it would help a lot. Based on last week's numbers, you guys have been doing that. So really big thanks. Seriously, thank you all. Of course, if you want to support another way, we do have the All The Gaming merch store available on spring.com. So, of course, as Fluff said, go buy a shirt.
Go buy a shirt.
Gabby, how's it going?
I am so great. Yeah, I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to talk video games. It's my favorite topic, so.
Awesome. Awesome. Of course, we'll start you off with the first question I ask everybody their first time on the podcast. What was the first game that really got you into gaming?
Man, so yeah, I was mentioning this to you earlier. I had to do some soul searching. I had a short list of like five games that came up, but I settled on the original Harvest Moon. We had an emulator on our computer. And I played the original Harvest Moon, and that game showed me that video games weren't all like shooty games. I assumed every game before you would like shoot a gun, right? And like that's just, or it was an educational game. I played lots of educational games, but Harvest Moon was the first that I really felt like I had agency, and I got a marriage candidate, and that was very exciting to me, and I really love Harvest Moon.
That's awesome. I don't think anybody's ever mentioned Harvest Moon as their answer to that question before, which is a pretty substantial series. Well, I can't actually remember what system the first
game was. The first one was Super Nintendo, but again, I was playing on an emulator, so I was playing on Zed SNES. Okay. But yeah, I hope that's allowed to be said. I'm sorry.
That's fine. I am not anti-emulation here. I've definitely played my fair share of emulated games in the past. But yeah, so Harvest Moon, what was it really about that game that you think sucked you in?
I mean, so yeah, as I said before, I'd played like Scorched Earth and games like that. And like educational games, but something about it was so peaceful and just, I didn't really realize games could be about anything. And then I guess as you get into it, and like I ended up loving the series in general, and Stardew Valley is of course the modern Harvest Moon. It's like, it's just a very satisfying game. It's all about resource management. You have time, you have money, that's basically, yeah. So it's just, I've always liked resource management games as well, and I think it's all just very satisfying.
I can definitely see that. I haven't ever played the original. I've played a little bit of one of the Game Boy games. I think it was Game Boy Advance. I can't even remember the subtitle of the one that I played.
It's such a huge series. I remember looking into it in the past. There's like 14 or something across 4 or 5 different consoles. It was expansive. Not all of them were as good as others, but they're still making them. It's
Hasn't the series name changed to something else?
Yes, it has, and I haven't played anything new. And then I think that someone bought the old Harvest Moon name too. Yeah, what is that? It's like Story of Seasons is the new name for it.
So that's kind of weird. That means that Harvest Moon is still out there, but not actually Harvest Moon. That might get confusing.
I mean, and it's funny because then obviously Concerned Ape made Stardew Valley, and he was a Harvest Moon fan, and he just made the ultimate Harvest Moon ode to Harvest Moon, and Stardew Valley just ticks all the boxes. So you don't even really need the Harvest Moon franchise anymore once Stardew Valley exists. It really culminated into that. But yeah, no, I think Harvest Moon. But also, it's funny because also on my shortlist was The Sims. And I think I've put just so many thousands of hours into all of The Sims. We're in The Sims 4 now. They've announced The Sims 5, which I'm somewhat excited about. But yeah, that was Harvest Moon and The Sims have very similar. Are they similar? I'm not sure. But I would say those are the
being some like crossover appeal there. Like if somebody's in the one, I wouldn't say they're the same. I mean, as far as like games that, I mean, really and truly, if you're getting away from combat focused games, like combat focused games, you could have two games that are two totally separate genres, and I think they would still probably be more similar maybe than The Sims and Harvest Moon, but maybe that's just because there aren't as many options outside of combat-centric stuff.
Yeah, perhaps. Yeah. I think there's also something about the leveling up that is really satisfying, and it happens in both games. Like, the more you use your pickaxe, the better you get at mining, and so you just this constant feel of getting stronger.
Right.
And in The Sims, you get that too. Like, you level
you
up your
skill points, and then,
exactly,
or even job promotions.
Yeah, exactly, and just getting more money. It just like you just this constant feeling of being stronger that you might not get in like kind of an iterative game like Fortnite or you know, like those battle royale types, and you know, right. Yeah. So I think the overarching feel of getting stronger is something that is very satisfying too. Leveling up is fun.
For sure. For sure. If you're not making progress, it's like what are you doing? It's not just a gaming thing either. It's in life in general. You know, maybe game and then actually make some progress.
Yeah, just grind it out for a couple hours and yeah, absolutely. I agree.
Of course, you're also a Twitch streamer.
Yes, I am. I actually just had my 2-year streamiversary last week to the day.
Nice.
So that was
congrats on making it there.
Thank you. Yeah, so you know, if you do the math, I guess it'll be a week again. So it was a month into the pandemic. I gave up on making sourdough bread and I started my Twitch streaming career instead.
So you started streaming like about a month or so after I started this podcast, something like that.
Oh, nice. Yeah. So about when the pandemic started, because, yeah, my first stream was April 20th, 2020.
I guess it would have been a little bit longer than a month because I started like January, but same year anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, what games do you usually play on stream?
So, I mean, so many people call themselves a variety streamer, and I feel like I fit the mold pretty well. In the 2 years that I've been streaming, I've streamed in 120 categories. So I'm like making my rounds. I started with Roller Coaster Tycoon. I really like tycoon type games.
Nice.
Yeah, I thought it was just kind of a thing to
big fan of Roller Coaster Tycoon.
Me too, actually. For my 1 year streamiversary, I played Roller Coaster Tycoon again, and then just last week for my 2 year, I played some Planet Coaster, and that was a lot of fun. Just a little, yeah, homage to my original. But I like a lot of RPG games. Most of my time has actually been in Gwent, which is the card game from the Witcher series. I've sunk apparently 16% of my streaming time has been in Gwent, the Witcher card game. So
wow.
Yeah, that was kind of random. Just kind of fell into it and went hard for a couple of months and got like a partnership. I'm an official Gwent partner and I'm on a team that's all it's a competitive team for Gwent. And then I haven't really played in a couple months, but we'll be going back to Gwent for sure. But it's just all over the place, really. Elden Ring, I really like the Soulsborne series, so I've done that. Right now we're doing Octopath Traveler, so, you know, JRPG. I did a couple Final Fantasies, and really all over the map. It's fun. One of my favorite things to do on streaming is to just go into a game having not even opened it before and just experience it for the first time with other people. And I like new games. It's just, I'm kind of addicted to buying and playing games like once or twice and then never finishing them. I'm getting better at finishing them, but I can't say I've finished all of them, but we've got a big list of games we've started and finished on stream.
Yeah, I've definitely checked out a few of your Octopath streams. What are you thinking of that game so far?
I am having a really great time with it. I know a couple of my viewers didn't enjoy the game. But one of the biggest compliments I think I've ever gotten as a streamer is two different people have said that they didn't like playing the game, but they like watching me play the game. And so I thought that was a very nice thing of them to say. There's like, it's not a perfect game or anything, but I'm able to overlook some of the things that are less than good because it's beautiful and it's very satisfying and sometimes a turn-based game, especially after coming from Elden Ring. It's just nice to just pause for a second and not be like constantly looking over your shoulder to see if a terrifying mosquito is coming at you or, God forbid, a dog.
It is something I like about the whole concept of streaming, though. Because there's a lot of games out there that, for whatever reason, I'm not necessarily super interested in playing myself, but I love the world of gaming so much that I'm still curious about them, if that makes sense. I mean, the Dark Souls games have been that example for me of something that I've never really saw the appeal in them. But then watching a few different streamers play them, it's like, this is actually kind of enjoying to watch if you're watching somebody who's really into the game.
Yeah, absolutely. There's something, yeah, just seeing people's joy and like, okay, well, maybe this isn't for me, but I like that you're having fun with it. It's nice to see people enjoy things. I think that's
very true. I love being able to see somebody play a game that I'm not necessarily interested in playing myself. Seeing how much they enjoy it and then starting to understand that appeal. You know what I mean? Like, hey, this doesn't really appeal to me, but like through them, you can kind of, you get it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It's just like, yeah, another perspective on it. And everyone comes at gaming and, you know, for their own reasons for doing so. So if something doesn't quite scratch your itch, but does scratch someone else's, it's interesting to, I don't know, just another way of seeing the world through the lens of video games.
So how do you pick games for your streams?
It's kind of a mix of recommendations just through chat in general. The more someone comes by my streams and has seen me play a couple, some people have really learned what I might like. So I do trust people a lot when they suggest something. I mean, in general, as a streamer, If I wanted to just be playing a game, because, like, you know, you have your games you play off stream as well. So how do you pick which ones you play off or on stream? I'll take a peek at the category, see if anyone else is playing it to start with. Story-based games are kind of hit and miss on stream because, you know, if not people want to see start to finish, it's kind of hard to come in and out of a story game unless it's a story that a lot of people know. So I usually have a game that I'll have like one kind of main game at a time. Right now it's Octopath. Before that it was Elden Ring. I don't even remember what I was playing before that, to be honest. Breath of the Wild, maybe. Well, The Witcher 3, Red Dead 2. So I'll usually have one story game, and then I'll kind of mix in something indie, something kind of, maybe a roguelike. I like a lot of roguelike games that you can just kind of do iteratively. The Rogue Tower was a super fun tower defense game, so things like that. So it, partly what people suggest, partly what the category suggests. If something new is coming out, I'd like, it's fun being one of the first people to stream things because, you know, people will come by if they want to check out if it's worth it or not. And like, there's a lot of dead categories because a lot of games, they kind of like have their moment in the sunshine. So you want to capitalize on that, I guess.
I'm almost starting to wonder what types of games you're not into, because your game choices here are so all over the place, like so many different genres, which is awesome, by the way.
Oh, I can tell you what games I'm not into. There's a version of Gabby. We call it Sunshine Gabby, ironically, because when I played Mario Sunshine, I was so angry the entire time. Uh-oh. I am not good at platforming. For starters, 3D platforming is a little bit better. 2D platforming, I'm just horrific at. So both Celeste and Hollow Knight, I wasn't able to finish. I was just angry the entire time. I get like flustered, and then I'll start to just kind of button mash. And that works for some games.
Does not work for platformers.
But it does not work for platformers. So I kind of write off platformers right from the get-go. So I wouldn't say I don't do platforming. And when there's platforming within other games, I get upset. So even sometimes in Elden Ring, there'd have some like bits where you have to like jump from platform to platform, and I was a little frustrated with that. And I would say I don't have a lot of experience with anything FPS. I just picked up Destiny 2 and I've been learning it with a friend, and that's been very fun, but I'm not good at it. I'll get better. I don't have a lot of practice aiming. I grew up on games where you could pause and like think about it, and especially with like tycoon games,
right?
You can like kind of, and like The Sims, you like pause and you set up like their 8 actions they'll do for the day, and then you hit play again and things like that. So anything where it's like kind of real time, I can struggle. And anything PvP, I can kind of struggle too.
It's interesting to think about, because like, I know with platforming, that's one of those things that a lot of games that even aren't necessarily platformers will have sections that will have platforming elements, just because it's such an ingrained part of video games and video game history. And honestly, somebody like me, I really don't, you know, put much thought into that, because I love platformers, right? Like, that's what I grew up on, is platformers.
Sure. Yeah, of course.
So when I see a platforming section of my game, I'm like, all right, let's do this. This is my element right here.
Yeah, yeah, your bread and butter.
It's not into that. No. I can see that maybe being an issue.
Yeah, it takes a lot of concentration, and I'm fine with platformers too, or at least a lot of them. I get flustered easily, and then I want to change gears. And I want to change gears within the same game. So I'll call it, you know, I want to pivot. I'm having a hard time with this boss. I need to go over here and try this for a bit. And I find, especially with like 2D platformers, I found like the story is so linear that it's like, oh, you have to do this level right now. And if you can't do this level, and every time you try it, you just get a little bit angrier, you have to switch games, because that's your only option at that point. And so, but yeah, I do get flustered fairly easily. So anything where I can kind of hop around helps me.
Isn't that though one of the kind of, I guess, criticisms of, well, I guess up until Elden Ring, of the like Souls style games, where you'll run into like a really tough challenge, but that's the only thing you have to do at that point.
I found that, okay, so definitely in Elden Ring, they made it so incredibly open that that doesn't happen right until the end of the game. In the previous games, I found I always had 2 to 3 bosses to choose from at least, and there was always the option of grinding up your souls and leveling up a little bit. So I guess, kind of as I mentioned before, like in Harvest Moon, The Sims, I like getting stronger. So you're having trouble with that boss? Well, I don't know. Why don't you just kill like these 8 zombies over and over and over, and then you'll have enough for a level up, and then you'll that extra 8 damage might just do it this time. Like, I always just feel like I'm progressing in those games, even if it's just doing the same hallway over and over.
I can see that. There's a point whenever you're grinding, especially like JRPGs and stuff, where you get like get on a certain loop, like a certain area that you know it so well that there's almost like a comfort in like redoing that loop.
Yeah, absolutely. And I like JRPGs too, so I played a lot of Final Fantasy and like Pokemon, and so I'm used to that. Yeah, that just, okay, well, we'll just walk around in this tall grass for a little while until we get one more level up, and then we'll see if we can beat the boss then. Which I find that you don't necessarily get in a lot of platformers. Often you'll, like, unlock abilities and that kind of thing, but usually that's just a new button to have to learn to press.
Right.
Makes me more anxious every time I go to mash my buttons. I've never been great at fighting. I think fighting games are fun. I've never been great at them, but at least when you mash the buttons, sometimes you, like, accidentally pull off cool combos. I wouldn't ever win a tournament or anything.
I'm terrible at fighting games, though I do have one Smash Bros. Tournament win under my belt that still doesn't make any sense, but okay.
Congratulations.
Well, to be fair, it was midnight release of Super Smash Bros. Melee. Nobody knew what they were doing, or not Melee, Brawl.
Okay, yeah.
And it was because everybody had been used to playing Melee with GameCube controllers, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden at this tournament, they're like, no, you gotta use a Wii Remote Nunchuck. Nobody knew what buttons to press, and it was just, it really came down to who can adapt to the controller the fastest.
No kidding. That's pretty fun, though. Do you remember, you maining? Do you remember?
I mean, this is like midnight release, so like nobody even knew the characters.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, you could only do it that night. That's kind of fun, though. Yeah,
I played Kirby in that tournament.
Ooh, nice.
One tournament, and then because it was like a national thing, I went on to the next tournament the next week. Won the first round of that, so I actually beat another tournament winner. And then I got knocked out after that, and I have never made it out of the first round of another Smash Bros. Tournament since then.
Fair. These things happen.
But that's the weird story of my life, is somehow doing well the very first time I try something, and then failing at it miserably from then on.
Ah, yes.
It's incredible beginner's luck. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
See, I always like to, like, in platformers, I guess, do like a trial and error thing until I finally got it right. Which at times I did get frustrated with certain platformers at certain points. The part where it was different between the difference between this is frustrating to me and I can do this, just let me keep trying it until I get it right, is, do I think it's something I can do?
Absolutely. Oh, I feel the exact same way with like a Dark Souls boss. So it is similar, and I need to give it another shot. And people keep telling me I need to try it with an open heart and open mind. So I will. But that's how it is with Dark Souls. Like, if you think you can do it, then you just keep trying. But when you're like, oh, this is impossible, no, I can't. Yeah, definitely, you can get that little bit of get into a funk, and that definitely doesn't help.
Some people will probably never be able to really get into platformers. It's like, I know plenty of people that cannot and will not play anything with turn-based combat. They just can't get into that. But I love games with turn-based combat. And some people just can't do it.
It's funny because I get the arguments against it, and it's like, well, it's like it's kind of boring, and you don't feel like you have real agency, and maybe your choice, like, it doesn't. And it's like, yeah, I guess it just doesn't bother me. I kind of like it. And Octopath has been wonderful. Yeah, you said you started, but you're gonna try it up again, maybe.
Yeah, I started playing Octopath Traveler a few years ago after I had started at my previous job, not where I work at now. And I had bought it for the Switch, went home, played it a few times, enjoyed it a little bit, but I was also not in a great place mentally at the time. So I was having a hard time really sticking to and enjoying any game that I was picking up. And I picked up several games there. There was like a couple months there where I picked up several new games and then just couldn't stick with any of them. It was kind of terrible.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair in any hobby, just the ebbs and flows, and especially when you're like, I'm supposed to be enjoying this. So if I'm not for any reason, like, why am I doing this? This is silly. So I think if you like JRPGs, and anyone out there that likes JRPGs, Octopath Traveler is top notch, in my opinion. I've been having a great time with it.
It was definitely, in that case, an instance of just not being good in a good place mentally at the time. If you're like in a state of depression or something like that, and you're not, you know, feeling right, it's going to be hard to really enjoy much of anything. And that's kind of where I was at that point in time. It wasn't just games. Mm-hmm. It was like movies and stuff. There were sequels to movies that I had been a long time fan of, like the second Jurassic World movie came out, and I watched it and I felt kind of meh over it.
Mm.
It was like, was it that the movie was bad, or was it just because I was in a mental funk and couldn't really enjoy anything? I don't know.
Yeah, you know, yeah, for sure. But yeah, I highly recommend giving it another go, Octopath Traveler, now that you're feeling better.
I definitely will at some point, but there's also so many other games that I'm like, there's a few games that I am playing right now that I still haven't finished, that I I'm actually really enjoying and really into. It's like, let me finish these right now.
Yeah, it's rough the amount of games that come out. There's so many games, and there's so many new games coming out, and there's so many games I want to replay. Like, there's just not enough time. It's not fair. People need to slow down, because there's just too much content to keep up with.
That, and then like games from years and years past that for whatever reason I missed out on, that are just on my bucket list of, everybody says this game is amazing.
Yeah.
And I've never played it, and it looks cool. It looks like it's right up my alley. So at some point I've got to go back and play this. Like, I've mentioned Banjo-Kazooie a lot of times on here, but then there's also games like Chrono Trigger, other games like that. At some point in my life, I want to go play this game. I just haven't yet, you know?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I have a couple of those. I got like The Last of Us, and then this, and then like, you want to play the new ones, like, so like the new Horizon. I'm like, well, do I play the old one first? And that happened with The Witcher 3 too. It's like, well, I want to play The Witcher 3. Do you do the first two?
Yeah. I don't know about the Horizon sequel, but I do know, because I haven't played the sequel yet, but I do know I absolutely loved the first game, so.
Yeah, well, apparently the sequel is phenomenal, and then it's like, but new game, the new Breath of the Wild is going to come out, and then there's the new Hogwarts Legacy game that's coming out, just so much stuff. It's hard to, I'm not really complaining. Of course, I feel blessed that there's so much content. We live in a time where we get to experience what we want to experience, but just, man, I wish there were more hours in a day, and right? I could just play more video games. Yeah.
I feel like if I had 12 extra hours in a day, right? You know, if mm-hmm. the day was somehow 36 hours long, and I could devote 12 of those 36 hours to just gaming, I would still never play all the games I want to play.
Because yeah.
Especially if you start looking into like really obscure little indie games, right? How many of those are out there that are absolutely amazing that you may have never even heard of?
Oh, I know, right? It's there are so many. Actually, when I first started streaming, I did a YouTube series that was like an itch.io. It was the bundle for racial justice and equality. So it was one of those like $5 for, or a minimum donation of $5 for like 800 to 1,000 games or something. And
they,
I played.
They just recently did a Ukraine.
They did another one for Ukraine. Yes, they did. Yeah. Which had a couple game overlaps, but it also had some new ones. But man, I played a couple duds, but I also really, like, there were some really incredible games that I never would have found otherwise. And I don't know how people would find them otherwise. So I'm so grateful for sites like itch.io.
I don't know anybody that really just goes and browses itch.io for games to find and play.
I don't know either. Yeah.
And apparently that's a hotbed for like indie game development.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I played some. I mean, I think that's a short hike I played through there. That was the first time, and like Night in the Woods. And these are all, I mean, sort of well known now on Steam. I've heard people talk about them, but yeah, just hotbed for sure. Some very cool stuff.
And you never know what next indie game is going to be the next Stardew or the next Terraria or something like that. That's going to be that indie game that you could pick up that could literally eat thousands of hours of your life.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and like what will blow up on Twitch and what are all the big streamers going to play? And like that trickles down for the rest of us, I guess. Just people that really want to see some of these, more of these interesting games. Yeah, no, there's some very cool stuff out there. And not enough time to try it all. I do my best, though. I try to play a couple, a new game a week. Sometimes it's more. Definitely when I had a thing to like do 100 categories in 2021, so we were on a pretty quick pace of trying out new stuff.
That sounds pretty difficult to try to pull off. 100 categories? That's like, that's two a week, like on average.
Yeah, so, I mean, I would do, especially back mid-pandemic when we never left the house. So I could definitely do a lot more 12-hour streams, and we would split that up to like four games, 3 hours each kind of thing. And if you do that once or twice a week, and that's pretty good. Some of the, I would play demos that would only last a half hour also. So I wouldn't say I fudged it per se, but there's some categories that have more hours in them than others.
I guess there's like a lot of really short games out there, like Journey, or even like the original Portal that you could sit down in a single sitting and get through.
Yeah, actually, speaking of which, this, I guess by the time it comes out, it'll be last Saturday, but this upcoming Saturday for me, I have a friend that's going to coach me through Resident Evil 3, and the plan is to start to finish Resident Evil 3. Yeah, apparently it's like 6-7 hours, so that'll be fun. I like those like kind of bite-sized. That one's a big bite, but you could do it in one sitting.
Speaking of game mechanics earlier that drive you nuts, Resident Evil has this thing where they do inventories in a Tetris style, and every game, whether it's Diablo or anything else that uses that style of inventory, it just drives me up a wall. I can't explain it.
I think I kind of enjoy it because I have good memories of Diablo 2, so I think it probably reminds me of playing with like my cousin or whatever. But that's fair to not enjoy it. I could see that being annoying.
I don't know why. I'm just always, when it comes to inventories and games, like, just give me the bottomless bag. I don't care if it's realistic or not.
Yeah, that's a nice thing about Elden Ring. It gives you just a bottomless bag, no weight limits. You don't fat roll if you have too many swords on you. It's perfect.
Weight limits don't bother me as much as the like inventory. The actual, thing, you have to like physically move something around a box so that you can keep it in your inventory.
Oh man, I saw someone playing a game the other day that's it's just that, and it's a it was a roguelike called like Bag Keeper or like Backpack Keeper or something, and the whole game is just that. So
somebody made a game that's just that. What?
Yes. So I guess it's not for you, but you know, no. See what video games, is there something out there for everyone? I'm pretty sure, or Backpack Hero, I'm pretty sure is what it was called. I thought it looked pretty funny. Flash fun.
There's a part of me, though, that wants to watch somebody play this.
Mm-hmm.
Like this, like, I guess kind of sick, like, let's watch somebody torture themselves thing.
Yeah, because you don't have to do it. Yeah. Right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's an inventory management roguelike. So I guess it's still an open access, so keep your eyes peeled.
Sounds terrible to me. Yeah.
All right, not for you. That's fair.
No. Can you imagine if somebody like was listening, like you taking notes on your least favorite mechanics in games and decided they're going to make a game that's just that? What would that be, even?
Oh, what? Yeah, I don't know. I guess I could pick out a couple mechanics that I don't love. Which is funny, because I said I love The Sims, but I don't really like open sandbox games. So I guess, like, an open sandbox platformer that doesn't have any NPCs, like, you can just run around and jump on things endlessly, and there's no goals and there's no achievements. And yeah, that would be my nightmare game, I guess.
So in other words, a Minecraft server that somebody made and they just spent years and years and years developing nothing but parkour courses in Minecraft.
Yeah.
And then they just let you out onto this and then removed your ability to do anything but run.
Yeah, I guess something like that. Yeah, game. I guess so. I enjoyed Minecraft when I played it. It's not a game I would ever play solo, but I also kind of constantly needed like someone to kind of like push me to. Otherwise, I just like ended up playing Stardew. I got my cows and my chickens, and I was fishing all the time. And I just played Stardew Minecraft Edition. Yeah.
Have you seen the other game that Concerned Ape is?
Oh, yes, the Chocolatier.
Yeah.
I am so excited about it.
It's really interesting.
Yeah.
High hopes for that. I don't know.
Haunted Chocolatier. I also have high hopes. I know that Concerned Ape is concerned. Because, you know, he puts so many years into Stardew, and everyone's going to compare your second work to your first work. That's just
right.
Just what people do. I think it will be great. Even if it's just another Stardew, I think that would be great.
From what I've seen of the game so far, to me, it kind of looks like, they took everything they learned from developing Stardew and then just applied that to another. It's like working on another game. Stardew to me very much looks like it is a love letter to the Harvest Moon series, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then Haunted Chocolatier looks like it is they took what they learned from doing that to make something new, if that makes sense.
No, but agreed. Then, yeah.
You know, it's not Harvest Moon, so it's not going to be that. But it's still taking what they learned from making Stardew.
Exactly. Yeah, I know that cool. He said that he's updated the combat system a bit because that was something that he thought was lacking in Stardew, which I enjoyed the combat in Stardew, but I guess I would enjoy better combat, I guess.
That's true, yeah.
But yeah, no, I agree. I don't know if you have played or heard of Graveyard Keeper, but that's...
I have not.
So that's like another kind of Stardew type game, and it's like very dark humor, and you play a graveyard keeper, and you have to deal with dead bodies, and you can harvest their organs to
help
the NPCs. It's quite fun, but that's what Haunted Chocolatier kind of seems to me. Like they took this very Stardew gameplay, but they kind of added like a dark little twist and like something new and fun to it. So new and fun, like in a interesting way, I guess I should say. I don't know how like haunted it's gonna be. I don't know how like spooky or weird. I'm excited though.
I've seen of it, it doesn't look like it's gonna be particularly dark, which I mean, there were ghosts in Stardew, really.
True.
I don't know if that's a spoiler or
not. I think we're okay.
But there's a few like kind of supernaturally elements in Stardew. I kind of feel like it's probably gonna be more of that. I think it'll still be fairly lighthearted from what I've seen. It might be a little darker than Stardew, but I'm not expecting it to be like grim dark or anything.
Okay, yeah. No, I agree. I think Graveyard Keeper is pretty grim dark funny. I don't think it'll go that far, but I expect it to be somewhere in between the two, and I'm excited about it. Even Stardew kind of, it like has some dark moments. It hints at some pretty heavy stuff. There's a war going on in the background and all sorts of things, so like we're like, he's hinting at it, so I think he'll go a little bit further. I'm excited. I think that'll come out next year, 2023 or beyond. It'll be great, though.
I believe it probably will. I mean, just looking at the love put into Stardew itself, like, that is, it oozes charm. So you kind of expect that another game by the same developer is probably going to be full of the same charm. I don't know. I'm hoping, anyway.
Me too. We'll see. Yeah, exactly.
Nothing's ever a guarantee, I guess, but...
That's true. But, I mean, now I feel like I've been... spoiled, because everyone was saying how great Elden Ring was going to be, and then it was really great. So
right.
Now I'm just like riding the last. I know for a little while there was a lot of games that people were excited about and they were big flops, but I kind of feel like the last big releases were not flops. So I don't know if that means we're due for a flop in the future or what that means, but I'm hoping it just means good things to come.
I think that stuff happens in waves. I know, like, I think the most famous or infamous, I guess, example was probably the Cyberpunk debacle a couple of years ago.
Yeah, that was one of the ones I was thinking of as a flop, which I never played. And I, being a Gwent partner, perhaps I should be playing these games by the same company.
I wanted to play it. Like, it looked really good before it launched, but then when it came out, like seeing all the controversy around, like, you'll pass. Unfortunately, it kind of put up,
yeah. As we said, there's so many games. So when you start hearing bad things, you're like, well, maybe they'll fix it. We got 100 other games to try in the meantime. So
I think the biggest bummer about that whole story wasn't even not just that Cyberpunk flopped, but it seemed like before it came out, you heard nothing but good things about the developers. Right, about CD Projekt Red and what they were doing and like their approach and stuff. And then as soon as it started getting close, then bad things started coming out about them. And then it came out and it was full of problems, and then even more stuff came out bad about them. And it's like, wait, hold on, was all of this other stuff lies? It really made me question not just that, but like a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes in the industry as a whole.
Sure.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think at a certain point, it's like, who is releasing these good reviews? And like, do we trust them? Like, is there any point? I think a lot of people were kind of discouraged from like pre-ordering games after a couple, you know, feeling like they were ripped off or whatever. So
I just, in general, I don't know that I would really recommend people to pre-order games just in general. And it's not even just because a game might be a flop, but there might be a game might come out and be generally regarded as being amazing, but there could be some subjective reason that you're just not into it, even if it's a part of a series that you're, you know, you've always loved. Which that is the one instance where I will pre-order a game, is if it is a sequel to a like long-running series that I've been a big fan of forever.
Yeah, honestly, I don't know if I have, you know, that's, I pre-ordered Elden Ring because I wanted to stream it on the day it came out. That is the only game I ever pre-ordered, and I felt pretty confident based on the reviews that were coming out at the time. And I don't feel like I was...
But you mentioned you were already a Dark Souls fan, right? So you were already a fan of From Software, right?
That's true, yeah. And I also... I only played Dark Souls as a stream thing. Like, I did a community challenge. Everyone thought it'd be funny because I was doing lots of, like, Roller Coaster Tycoon and Stardew.
That's pretty big.
Yeah, so everyone thought it would be really funny to see me struggle. So I remember, like, posting in my Discord. I'm like, you guys, like, do I play for an hour? Do I commit to a full stream? Like, I don't know what to commit to. And then I beat all the bosses, and then I played Dark Souls 3, and then I played Dark Souls 2, and then I bought a PS4 so I could play Bloodborne, and, like, I was just so fully invested.
You got hooked.
I got hooked.
Thought was a one-off challenge.
Yeah.
That's actually pretty awesome.
Honestly, I feel like, yeah, I don't consider myself a gamer, obviously. I am, but because I never played shooters, I'm like, well, gamers play shooters, and I don't. So I always, yeah, and it wasn't my aesthetic. Like, I like very cute things and like human things and The Sims and Stardew and that kind of thing. So I was just completely taken off guard by how much I enjoyed the Dark Souls series. Like, and it really made me like, I'm so open to trying other games now based on how I thought I was going to hate it, and I didn't at all. And it like opened up. It was really like a whole new world, and very exciting.
That almost makes me sad to hear that you say you didn't consider yourself a gamer when you were playing games. And it sounds like, to me, like you're very passionate about this even.
Yeah, I think that there's connotations to gamer that aren't necessarily maybe fair, but do exist. And I didn't want to be associated with, you know, like the toxic gamer stereotype maybe. I play video games more than a lot of people I know, and I would never, yeah, but just, yeah, the term gamer is a weird one. It's got a lot of hidden depth and connotations, and I don't know if we'll ever really tease those apart again.
I don't know. I've personally always subscribed to the, and I've said it on this podcast before, like, you know, anybody that plays games, doesn't matter what game, your aunt that only plays Candy Crush on their phone, she's a gamer. I've always kind of subscribed to that mentality of gamers, you know, people who play games. That's it. Is that simple? That's my idea of a gamer. I don't know.
I feel like I'm almost there, and I'm like, I'm right beside that thought where I agree. Like, I don't know. I don't exactly know I don't know what I feel, but it's, yeah, connotations. But if someone wants to self, if they play games and they call themselves a gamer, I would defend them to the death for sure. Candy Crush included. People get man, the number of hours people put into that game. Once you're putting that many hours into anything, that's dedication. That's gamer dedication for sure.
Right. I mean, heck, my grandma played a pretty decent amount of Candy Crush. So it's like, I have to include that, because it's like, I kind of like this. Maybe it's just an idealistic thing where I just kind of like because I've always had this obsession with gaming. Right. And then if I can include any even remotely connected thing to gaming as part of that, then I can say, all right, you're part of the club, and I want everybody to be a part of the club. I don't know.
I'm here for that. I agree that, I don't know. Lots of people play video games and part of the video game club, and everyone is welcome. I'm happy with that sentiment for sure.
Which I don't even necessarily stick that definition specifically on video games. Like board games, card games, gaming. But
that is fair. Yeah. I don't know. At a certain point, we need some terms to differentiate just so that when people are talking, they kind of have an idea. You know, like I say, my mom's a gamer, and you're like, oh yeah, like what, like Fortnite? And you're like, no, she's like really into bridge. Like, that's, you know, words are for communication, and communication is for ease of understanding what people mean. And so this is why I agree that, I mean, I love board games. We had to get rid of a bunch of board games at the start of the pandemic because we needed to make room for our home offices. But like at a certain point, we owned like 75 board games. But I wouldn't have considered, I would say I am into board games. I collect and play board games. But
what do you call somebody that plays board games?
I don't think there's necessarily a noun for them.
I've heard people say board gamer before.
Or like, yeah, tabletop gamer, maybe.
But you're people. Still using the word gamer there.
I'm okay with the word gamer. I just, but yeah, there's a qualifier to it.
But at that point, to me, it's just like you're categorizing it. You're saying, all right, board gamer, like tabletop gamer, but that still includes, you know, gamer. Like you could say FPS gamer. You could say RPG gamer. You know, like not everybody's going to be into every type of game. That's fine. Like that's, you know, I'm good with that. If you want to say specifically that you are only into a certain genre, that's fine. You know?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, it's just more for ease of conversation and to say a word and for most people to understand what you mean without needing to get into too many qualifiers, I suppose. But yeah, no, a game is a game. And
I'm curious, like, what do you think it was going from playing games like Roller Coaster Tycoon and that sort of thing to all of a sudden playing Dark Souls? What do you think the bridge there was that sucked you in from one thing into the other?
Yeah. Okay. So I think having like very clear goals over like what was to come next, whether like in Roller Coaster Tycoon, there's like, you know, you have to have this many people in your park by this year. Like there are scenarios that you had to fill out. Whereas with Dark Souls, it was like, okay, well now you have to kill this boss kind of thing. So like having a clear goal was really helpful, having something to work towards. And I think because I also had played a lot of JRPGs, I was okay with grinding and just waiting until I leveled up a little bit more and before I tried a boss again.
Right.
So I was okay with the idea of that too. And I've always kind of treated Dark Souls as roguelikes, and I like roguelikes because the point is to die. But every time you die, you go back and you're stronger, and then you see if you can get a little bit further next time.
Right.
And so I was always like, so much about having fun is about expectations. And so I went in expecting to have a bad time and expecting to die and expecting to get frustrated. And because I expected that, everything was kind of positive in comparison, I think. So I think if anyone should give it a try and just try to go in knowing that you're going to die and that's the point and that's okay. Just like in so many other games, it's okay to die. Like that's not how you lose the game. There's no like big like game over. You have to start from the beginning anymore. You're always starting. You get to keep all your items that you found. You found a cool sword. You have that for the rest of the game now. So there's just kind of this constant feeling of being better, and not because like you practiced and you got better. Like literally your character is just stronger. And so you could play again and not get better at all, and you would still get through the game technically, maybe. It'd be a long time though.
It's just kind of weird to me, like, because I was streaming for a while. One of the games that I had streamed was Roller Coaster Tycoon, and I even labeled my streams for that as Roller Coaster Tycoon is gaming comfort food, because to me it just is. Like, there's something really, I don't know, satisfying and relaxing about playing Roller Coaster Tycoon. But the Dark Souls, I'm not sure what the right word is, but
it's not relaxing. No, it was definitely. It took me more to like get prepared for a Dark Souls stream than it did for like when I switched over to Breath of the Wild. Breath of the Wild went back to comfort almost immediately, but it was. I was a little anxious during Dark Souls. Like every time, I was like, "Oh, I hope this stream isn't really hard. Like, I hope I don't get stuck on a boss." And It was not a comfort time, but I did find it really satisfying to get through a section that I wasn't able to before. And I don't think I've ever felt that amount of satisfaction in any other game. I think because it was so hard is why it was so satisfying.
Yeah, I was about to ask, like mentioning feeling a little bit anxious there. I wonder if that even added to the satisfaction a little bit, like getting through something that you knew going into was going to be kind of tough.
Yeah, there would definitely be streams where I'd be like, okay, I have enough time for like a 5-hour stream. And I'd be like, okay, I know I've been working on this boss for 3 hours already. And I really hope I'm not spending 5 hours on this boss. And then I would beat them like first try. So like within half an hour, I've already beat a boss. I'm like, oh my, everything is like, I have 4.5 hours free time now. Like it doesn't even matter what I do for the rest of the stream. And those were the streams where I would do the most. Like, because the pressure was off, and well, I already beat my one boss for the stream, so let's just go right. Casually beat three more, because I don't understand. And then the next stream, you go and you're like, I beat so many bosses last time, let's do that again, and then you get stuck on one.
You
and
get
you're
that
stuck.
One that, yeah. that you can't quite wrap your head around there.
Yeah, and it's just, I don't know, something about expectations, and like every time I would always have whatever happened the last stream, the opposite would happen the next stream. But it was, the Dark Souls community is really great on Twitch too. People are really excited to see people's first tries at things. So I think that helped a lot. I think it's like a pretty non-toxic community, I would say. I enjoyed it and still do. Obviously I can't play them for the first time again, but I really enjoyed doing it, and I still have to go back and beat Sekiro. That one was very hard.
Supposed to be the hardest one, right?
Yes, I found it the hardest. I beat all bosses and all Soulsborne, so I'm like, well, it's about expectations again. I went in like, well, I'll beat Sekiro. Everyone says it's so hard, but I beat all the other ones. And I just got stuck after stuck after stuck. I just couldn't. And so I had to take a break, and a break turned into like a year and a half break.
But I remember when that game came out and hearing like really people who were really into Dark Souls picking it up and saying like, well, this is so much more difficult than Dark Souls.
Yeah, it's not a Soulsborne. Like that's why Soulsborne is a name and Sekiro is not a part. It's a FromSoft game, but it's different and lovely and great in its own right. But I had to have a bit more disconnect between the other FromSofts, because I just get into this part of like me, button mashing is like getting into muscle memory button mashing, and it did not work for Sekiro. The button mashes were not helping me out very much, so I kind of had to, rework my brain for that one. But we'll go back to it. Nothing is impossible. It just sometimes takes more patience than other things. And sometimes you don't have the patience, so I needed to wait until I did. We're getting there. We're getting close. Once I get through Sekiro, maybe I can go back and do Celeste. And then maybe we can go back to Mario Sunshine, but I don't know.
All right. Well, I think we're running out of time here, but thank you so much for doing this. This has been incredible. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. Thanks for asking. And yeah, it's been a really great time.
All right. Awesome. Of course, before we wrap up, is there anything you would like to promote? Obviously your Twitch stream, but anything else, any social media?
I'm Gabby Diggs, GABBYDIGS on Twitch, YouTube, Twitter, I guess are the big three. I actually haven't really posted on YouTube in a while, but so mostly Twitch. But do a lot of variety gaming. I hope to see some people come by, and yeah.
Awesome. Well, definitely go check her out. She's pretty great on Twitch. I haven't watched too many of her streams, but I've seen some of the, Octopath Traveler streams. Those have been fantastic from what I've seen. So definitely go check her out. And of course, come follow us on Twitter @AllTheGaming1. And of course, like our Facebook page, come join our Facebook group, come join our Discord server, come join in on the discussion. It'll be fun, like listening to this, except you can participate. And of course, go check out all of our past episodes, all the major podcast platforms. If you want to support us, check out the All The Gaming merch store on spring.com. I would really appreciate it if you just went and bought a lot of shirts. So go buy a shirt.
Go buy a shirt.
Anyway, thank you all for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Goodbye.